I told y'all a month ago that through every Sunday in August, we'd be having a missionary report. Did anybody miss the report this morning? Did you notice we started off without a report? Let me tell you why. Because it is my privilege and my honor to introduce to you our preacher this morning. Ivan Bykov was here on the day that we asked God to anoint this building. He was our keynote speaker on the day that we opened our building and we celebrated coming together. You realize that was almost 10 years ago. Now, as he was then, except in even a greater capacity, Yvonne, his family, and Svetlana, his wife, and many others have been serving in a ministry called Revival Sports. Many of you have heard about this. It has expanded just a little bit since we last had him here, because today they are serving and witnessing and being missionaries in 243 countries. How would you like to visit 243 different churches? 243 countries. Revival Sports is an exciting ministry that is reaching thousands and thousands of children and adults through sports ministries. It is my pleasure and my honor to introduce a brother and a friend, Ivan Bykov. Would you welcome him as he comes to share with us this morning?
Thank you.
Thank you. What a joy for me to be with you today. You may recognize my East Texas accent. I'm a part of the Brother Gary's family. So, and this is a big joy. This is a big joy for my family to be here together with you. Seeing you growing, glorifying the Lord, and reaching out to people, as well as loving sport, driving in, seeing the disc golf, baskets around the place, that's the first thing I notice. And then Brother Gary says, you know, during the week we have more visitors on the property who come to play disc golf. And I'm with you. Sports is a universal language. It's a unique platform that enables us to do the work that we do. And we realize that there is no map that actually reflects the proper geography, because many maps reflect the political views on countries and territories. So we develop our own map. It's 253 countries, islands, territories over the world. And by God's grace, today we have disciple makers and church planting teams who love Jesus and love sport, and 243 of them. So this is all praise God, but there is 10 more remaining. Some of them, two little islands in Caribbean. Others, three little islands in Pacific, and five other countries that are very, very difficult to reach. But there is nothing more. There is no challenge for God. We can trust Him, and He can open any door for us. And that's why we also realize it is time for us to focus on cities, because Jesus was walking from city to city. He was sending His disciples to cities in groups of two. We see the book of Acts full of churches planted in the city specific. And when Jesus addressed the church in the last book of Revelation, He addresses the church in the city. So we build a list of 5,000 largest cities of the world, and by God's grace, today we have the work in 3,200 of those cities. So there's 1,800 more to go, and it's all God's goodness and grace. But you are also a big, big part of that. Because from the day one when my family came here as refugees, almost 17 years ago, out of Central Asia, we came here with two small children who are today college students, and no English, We didn't know anyone. And the Lord said, this is your new Jerusalem. Not to build an American dream, although it's nothing wrong with this, but this is your Jerusalem to reach the ends of the earth. And we're like, how, Lord, how are we going to do this? And meeting this wonderful family who came alongside us and actually gave us the house where they used to live in the country for us to live there for 6 months. And we didn't have anything, but they welcomed us into their family. They made part of their children, and they've been praying and caring. And we also felt the same through you. You've been a big part of what God is doing around the world. But today I want to share with you something very unique that happened to me. One of the weeks, early morning, I needed to do some errands. So I look into the phone and I saw that HEB is opening at 6 a.m. I drove right for the opening. I park empty parking lot, just few cars of workers who came early. And as I step outside the car, I saw something that I've never seen before. At the end of the parking lot, there was a huge lighting screen, like holographic display, showing something. And I'm like, what is this? And why is it on at 6 in the morning? So in my awe, I'm walking to the place. There is no speaker. There is no projector. There are no electrical cords. There is no generator. It's right there. I'm wondering what's going on. Is it too early in the morning or something happened? And then I hear the word sent to me. Ivan, take your shoes off. Because the parking lot that you're standing on is the holy ground. I'm like, no way. And that reminds us a story that happened to someone. Imagine that happened to you. Is that happened to Moses in Exodus 3. God met Moses in the most ordinary circumstances. He is working with his shepherds across the desert. He sees something that he's never seen before, a burning bush that is not burning to the ground. In his amazement, he is walking toward that. And then he hears the voice of the Lord. Now, God is asking Moses to do something that no one ever did in the last like 400 years. He is asking Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt. He is challenging him not just to go back to Egypt and not just to face Pharaoh and not just to meet with elders, but take the entire nation out of Egypt into the promised land. What a challenge. What a challenge. So that brings us to Exodus chapter 4. And I would like us to go into the Word of God and hear the Word of God as it is. Now, as you hear God speaking to you through the word, he may speak to you in Russian accent, so just bear with it. And if you have hard time to understand me, sorry, that's your problem. Or, although you're Baptist, pray for the spiritual gift of interpretation, and he may give it to you as we read through the scripture. So now Moses hearing this call for an extraordinary mission. In chapter 4, verse 1, then Moses said, But if they will not believe me or listen to what I say, for they may say the Lord has not appeared to you. Moses has his own doubts. Moses has his own fears. Moses have never done before. He never read a book of someone has taken people out of the Egypt. He does not have a role model. There is no a strategic plan. There is not a committee to consult with. It's only the Lord and Moses discussing this mission impossible. And Moses is asking pretty rational questions. What if this? What if that? Let's look together how God is answering to this question, those questions. The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" How does God answering on Moses' question? He is answering with another question. Isn't that strange? Like, I'm serious, Lord. You're calling me to this incredible opportunity, and I would like to see my nation to be free and in the promised land, but I need more details. And our Almighty God, who has unlimited access to the wisdom, is not giving him 10 steps, 3 bullet points, or 5 actions. He's asking another question. The Word of God is a treasure, but sometimes this treasure is hidden, so we need to find a treasure map. And in this treasure map, there are certain clues that point us how to find the treasure. One of those clues or tools to unlock the treasure is when something very unexpected happens or something that doesn't make any sense. And that's exactly this moment. He's asking the question to get more details, but the Lord is saying, what is in your hand? Like, how does that question has anything to do with what Moses is asking? What's the logical connection between taking people out of Israel and what is in my hand right now, today, in this desert? It just doesn't make sense. And when things doesn't make sense, us who have been living long enough in the Western culture, it blocks us. If something doesn't end up and doesn't make sense, we want to alienate ourselves. We want to say, oh, it's not for me. Turn around and walk a different direction. In the Eastern mindset, people global south, more east, when something doesn't make sense, it's invitation to discover. And of course, Bible was written by people from the East culture, Hebrew people. So when Hebrew or Jewish people would read this, they were like, oh, it's not a place for me to turn and walk a different direction. That's exactly what I need to pay attention to. Something is interesting going on here. So God is saying, what is in your hand? And what did Moses have at that time in his hand? And he said, a staff. Yes, what else? I'm a shepherd, I'm tending the sheep, I'm in the desert. Like, there is nothing else in my hands. It's only stuff, don't you know, don't you see? You just told me that you saw the cries and affliction of people and you don't see what I have in my hands. Like, that's the most ridiculous conversation we can see between God and a man. I have a staff. Every year, our global strategy team, with whom we work in 243 territories and countries, we begin January with 21 days of fasting and prayer. And January 10th to January 30th, we are asking the Lord for His guidance, for His direction, for His insight into upcoming year. January 2022, when we got together the last day, we sense from the Lord that something terrible is going to happen between Ukraine and Russia. We didn't have intelligence information. We didn't have access to what was maybe cooking in the Putin's mind or other places. We just sensed that the Lord was warning us that something terrible is going to happen between Ukraine and Russia. Now, without having all the details, we ask our leaders to make all kinds of preparation in the case if something will happen. In fact, in February, most of our key leaders who live in Ukraine relocated their wives and children outside of Ukraine in the neighboring countries like Romania and Poland and Italy and other places before the war started. And then February 24th, as I was in the last day sports conference in February 24th for NFL players who just finished the season, and there's annual conference that we do for them with partnership with other leaders. We see that it comes on the news, first day of war, February 24. Now, we come to the Lord, and the Lord is saying, I want you, us as a team, as a sports movement, as a network of leaders and coaches, to take care of my people. And my people are those who are hurt, who cannot stand out for themselves. I want you guys to rescue them out of the war cities. And I experienced almost the same moment when, like, Lord, how are we going to do this? We're not a humanitarian organization. We've never dealt with anything in the war conflict situation. We don't have a plan that says about this. There is no security protocols. Like, there is nothing. And the Lord asked the same question. What is in your hand? Because we're a sports movement, what do we have in our hand? So my assistant, thank you, Anastasia. What do we have in our hand? A ball. It's like Moses. I have a staff. What can you do with this? What can you do with a bunch of coaches, fitness instructors, athletes, and players throughout the country in the war situation? What is in your hand, Moses? Now, as I mentioned to you, if this is something that we need to pay attention, then the key word in this passage is the word stuff. If you go and you read through the entire story, which we'll not do for the sake of time, you will see that the word staff keep repeating multiple times. Multiple times. You can see this in verse 4. You can see in verse 8. You can see this in verse 17. But I want you to pay attention to the last time we see the word staff mentioned before Moses gets back to Egypt. It's verse 20. Let's look into this. So Moses took his wife and his sons and mounted them on a donkey and returned to the land of Egypt. Now Moses accepts, yes, I'm going to be part of this Mission Impossible. He's leaving this country. He's moving back to Egypt. He's taking his wife, his children. Now you're relocating to another country. What are you packing? You're packing everything that you need to do. But look what he also takes with him. Moses also took the staff of God in his hand. Like, why do you need this inventory? Why do you need this equipment? You're not going to be a shepherd anymore. Why? And then we see something unique. What do we know about that staff? How that staff is different from what we read in verse 2. It says, Moses also took the staff of God. Was it a Moses staff or it was a staff of God? It was Moses' staff in verse 2, and now it's God's staff in verse 20. What happened? What happened in between? It's another sign for us to pay attention. In Jewish culture, there was a literature tool that they used to hide certain treasures in the writings. It's called chiasm. It's when the certain idea starts in the beginning and then finishes in the end, then the treasure lies right in the middle. So if this is a story And we see the verse 2 starts with the staff, and the verse 20 with the staff of God, which is completely different. And then we fold the story in the middle, which is 18 verses. Then there is one or two verses in the middle that gives you the answer why what Moses had in his hand and was Moses' staff became a staff of God. Let's look into verses 11 and 12. Because this is right the middle of the story. The Lord said to him, "Who made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf? Or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say." It doesn't matter what did Moses have at that time. If he had a jar of water, God would use a jar of water. If he had a loaf of bread, he would use a loaf of bread. If it was a staff, it was a staff. It was any object, because the power was not in the object that Moses had in his hand. The power was in understanding, if God is going to be with me, whatever I have in my hands today, he will use this in a way that he can make even a blind person to see or deaf person to hear. It's not about what you are taking with you on a donkey. It's who are you taking with you. And in this case, the Lord said, "And I, even I, will be with you." So now, February 24th, Russia attacks Ukraine. Over 3 million people, refugees on the border. People live in the places. What can we do? How can we help? All we have is a network of coaches, players, fitness instructors, but none of them have ever been part of any rescue operation. We're not a humanitarian organization. We've never done before. And the Lord say, "This is not your network. This is not your stuff. It is my stuff. It is not your ball. It's my ball. And if I go with you, I will do the work that I want to do. All you need to do is to walk with me into epicenter of the mission." So because our leaders relocated their wives and children outside of Ukraine in this moment, they had already emotional, spiritual, and physical capacity to jump in into the action. And that's why in less than 24 hours, we mobilized a fleet of almost 500 volunteer-driven cars, buses, and start sending them to all places around Ukraine that were under attack. And our coaches and fitness instructors became rescue mission drivers going to the most dangerous places. You may ask, like, why? Why did they need that? Why they didn't get into the car and just throw to the safe place? Now, of course, for us who live here in Houston, we have maybe at least two cars on our driveways. But in Ukraine, it's maybe one car for 25 families. So who had a car would leave the city first. They will take maybe two more families with them, leave all the luggage, and just in five-passenger car, they will crowd like 11 people. But what about others? They don't have transportation. All the main public buses were taken to the front line to take the troops to the front line. There is no transportation. So that was the first reaction of a sports network who are not humanitarian organization, but was mobilized by God. And what we've seen during that time, 410,000 people were rescued out of those war zones. 410,000 people. We had 24/7 call center, and people would call us and say, "Hey, I have my family in the city because I was working here. Could you come and help to rescue them? They would give the address, and one of the volunteers would drive to this place. We had a situation when people from abroad, from Argentina, from Canada, from other countries would call and say, I have my uncle, I have my auntie, I have my grandma over there. Could you go? And then the 24/7 would coordinate those things. So that was something we've never done before, but we needed to do that. Do we need any help? Yeah. Lord Jesus, we want to stop for a moment as you have your unique hand of healing. And we ask for our dear sister that you will give her strength and health condition, Lord, until the proper medical help is assisted. Lord, we love you and we know that you have a power to heal and take care of, and that's what we're asking. In the name of Jesus, amen. So we had a situation now in 24/7 when one lady called and she said, could you please help to rescue my grandfather? He is sitting in this house with his suitcase ready for someone to come and pick him up. Of course, we sent a volunteer on the car to come and take care of him. He walks in the house. There is a grandfather, grandpa, but he is not waiting for anyone. He is not there with his suitcase. He's like, what are you doing here? And he tries to explain, like, I'm here to take you to a safe place. Would you come with me? We have a help center set up for you. And he's, no, I'm not going anywhere. No. It's not safe for you to stay in this house. Anytime the explosion, the bomb, the rocket can wipe it out. And after 40 minutes of conversation, he agreed to leave. So our volunteer took him, drove him to the help center. And then an hour later, this woman calls again. Guys, have you been able to send someone? My grandpa is still there waiting for the volunteer to come. And we're like, and then we realize he went to the wrong address and got the wrong guy. So we sent another car. He went, he picked up the right grandpa. He comes back. But next day, the rocket hit the house of the first man and blew it out completely. And because of that, he realized that God has a plan for his life, and he gave his life to Jesus because he saw that there's something he needs to do, and he needs to find a place at the cross. And even us who make human mistakes, God uses those mistakes and turns them into the salvation plan. And that's what we've seen happening the last 2 years with the war in Ukraine. Now you have all these people fleeing. What do we do next? We realize that people need to have a safe place where they can stay for 24 hours or maybe 3 days or maybe 1 week until they realize they just left everything, left the place. Now they're collecting the family members and they are getting the emotions organized to make some logical decisions about what is next. So in the western part of Ukraine, we organized 119 what we call help centers. It was churches, it was gyms, it was schools, it was different facilities where we just removed the chairs, we put the mattresses, and people would come and stay there. 119 places like that. And every day, we had 12,000 people staying in those help centers. 12,000. They would come in their pajamas because they just run away from their apartments in the middle of the missile attacks, and now they came to the help centers. We would provide them hot meal, hygiene supplies. It was less than $8 a day to take care of one individual. And for 12,000, it was $87,000 a day. We did not have this in our budget. We were not prepared with our finances. Like, yeah, we'll have 120, 130 help centers, maybe 12,000. We need to estimate X amount of dollars. And now every day there was a different plan. And holding the ball in our hands was like, this all we have. We're the sports network focusing on discipling people and planting churches through sports. We're not the humanitarian organization. But God was with us. He used what was Moses' stuff to turn into God's stuff to do miracles. One time, one man comes to me and he hands a check. And then I open it up and it was for $604,000, which was for 7 days to take care of those 119 help centers. And then I call our team in Ukraine and say, guys, we can continue host people for another 7 days. And day after day after day, God was miraculously providing, because it was not our plan, it was not our stuff, it was not our people, but it is His. And there's nothing more exciting like walk by faith. And you probably now sitting and thinking, Lord, what is your plan for my life? Because you don't want to live and die just to hear about great stories happening somewhere in Africa and China and Ukraine. I bet every one of you here sees and thinks, I want to be in the middle of incredible things that God is doing. And He is doing them not just outside the United States. He's doing them here in the middle of us, in Magnolia, in the Woodlands, in Condra, in all the places around us. And He has a unique mission for your life. And you may not experience that burning bush event in your life. And that's an opportunity to pray and walk and say, Lord, if I get out at the parking lot in HEB at 6 in the morning and I see this amazing screen, I will walk to this. But even if you don't have that dramatic experience, and one of your quiet time, you open the Word of God, and there is a scripture that tells you how God is impacting people's life, and you say, this is exactly what I want to do. Whatever is in your hand at that time is enough. Even if it's a mug with a cup of coffee, or just a pen, or a hammer, whatever you have is enough. Because it's not about what you have, but who is with you on this mission. And God told Moses, and I, even I, will be with you. And then as we were experiencing through these tough circumstances, my ministry responsibility is not just Ukraine and Russia. It's 243 territories and islands of the world. And I was asking the Lord, Lord, it's not sustainable. I will not be able to continue focus with my time and energy on what is happening in Ukraine. And there is not even an end to this madness. But there is 242 other countries, islands and territories that need my attention. I need Aaron. I need someone who will be by my side, working with me and helping with me. And I was praying about this until the end of 2022. And then in December 2022, I went to Mercy House Global. I don't know if you've seen the store on 1488, to thank the team who stepped in to support Ukraine people and who mobilized all the communities to serve us. And I went there just to say thank you. And there was my friend, Terrell Welch, who was a CEO of that organization at that time. And we prayed. And then he made a radical decision. He said, from February 2023, I want to be this Aaron. I want to take care of Ukraine and refugees in Europe and lift that burden out of your shoulders so you can focus on the other 242 countries. And Terrell is here with us. Terrell, I just want you to stand up and say thank you. So And it has been another miracle and answer from the Lord that Terrell said, I will help in this. So already this year, he went to Ukraine twice and went to all surrounding countries, Moldova, Romania, Poland, met with our leaders, went to most dangerous places, was there in the middle of the time when Kherson water dam was attacked and bombed, and he was able to provide water filters for people who lost access to the drinkable water. So God is doing incredible work. But then we also realize God wants to do something extraordinary. There's so many children who experience trauma because of the war. Millions and millions of children. And the first step for children to step on the journey of healing is to have a safe environment where they can share about the experiences. Otherwise, they quiet, they silent, they don't verbalize, they don't share. So God said, you know, you've done a lot of humanitarian work, providing tons of food, rescuing people. Now I want you to take care of children who went through the war trauma experience. And the best way to do this is to create safe environment through sports camps and sports coaching when they can come, play games, develop through sports, but then in this safe environment start sharing their trauma experiences and find the way to the cross where they can receive the ultimate healing. And we're like, Lord, how do we do this in the middle of the war? Usually we would do like 40 camps a year in the best year. But when we started, last year we did 445 sports camps for close to 20,000 children. And now that even grows and more. And children come to experience the love of Jesus and be in a safe place. And I want to take you with us to one of those Ukrainian camps. Would you please watch this video with me? So you heard the stories of 10 children. And we were able to help the last and this year close to 30,000 children. But there is over 3 million children that need us, our help. We don't know how we're going to do this. But we know that God, who was with Moses, is with us today. And all we do, we will go and let him to do his miracles. And we invite you to pray and be part of that and travel to those places if you want. But more, we invite you to have a posture every day and say, Lord, whatever I have in my hand, use it here to glorify your name. And I will pray for you. Father, thank you so much that you have this encouragement for us this morning, that you are with us wherever we go. We didn't plan for the war. We didn't plan for the strategy. But every day we saw your hand. Lord, I pray for everyone who is here that we will have the heart like Moses had to encounter you and be willing to accept your mission, even if it looks to us impossible, because we know that whatever in our hands today is enough, because we have more than we need. We have you. And Jesus, when you left your disciples, you said, and I will be always with you. And we experience that, we know that, and we're thankful for that. In the name of Jesus, amen.